Well, good morning to you. Summertime, we've passed Memorial Day.
Maybe one of the best albums ever made.
This is Foreplay Long Time.
This may be from one of the best albums ever made.
You felt
summer it, summer 77.
You feel so strong about it, you felt like you had to say it twice.
Well, I didn't hear myself the first time. I thought I had my off button on.
Was this on the Dazed and Confused soundtrack?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Boston.
Well, hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. Let us know in the Times Yours line what stood out to you Memorial Day weekend. Give me something good over the last few days. I mean, it can be about the Phils. It can be about sports. That was a wild comeback by the Knicks. Carl Anthony Towns, that was like the greatest moment of his career the other day. Give me something on the Times Yours line that stood out to you this weekend. 215-238-4500. Times Yours. Something really good or something really not good this weekend. What stood out? I'll give you one thing that was crazy. I was in the Princeton on Saturday night. And guys, I mean, I'm 47. I've been in a lot of bars through the years. I have never been in a more crowded bar. You couldn't move.
And it's huge now. I mean, it's like seven sections.
It's massive. Couldn't move. I had never.
That doesn't sound that fun.
It wasn't. No. John, it was not. And I would contend it probably hurt their ability to make money because, like, if you can't move to get to the bar,
yeah,
like it would take 10, 12 minutes just to get to the bathroom.
They need more spots there. They really do.
Well, really, ultimately, well, that too, but also just let a few less people in. I mean, it was, you could not move. Anyway, jeez. Anyone else have that Princeton experience Saturday night?
No,
by the way,
I felt old. Sunday, Wechter says to me, he goes, do you want to watch the game out at a place and it'll be insanely busy? Or you can watch it on my deck, and I'll make drinks and grill chicken. I go, oh, yeah, I'm going for option number two.
Yeah, that's your speed.
It's definitely
all right, give us something this weekend for Times Yours. What stood out to you? 215-238-4500. Matter of fact, I'll give you one other complaint. And look, I had a good weekend. But it started off on a weird foot. So Amy and I are driving down in her car, and she's driving. And I was like, that's great. I'll just lounge. This is beautiful.
Put your foot out the window. Yeah.
No, I didn't that time, okay. But I have before. But here's something. I think this will resonate with 100% of people. And, like, I don't get down with this. The cell phone companies, how they always change the size that the cord has to go into. So, like, I've got my phone, but she's got her car charger.
Dude, I complain about this to Emily all the time. Yeah, all the time. They want you to buy new products.
It's a racket.
It's a total racket. They always change it. Emily and I have different cords. Zoe's tablet is a different cord. It's like... And then I get a new phone. She gets a new phone. Now she has a new cord, right. So we can't use the same cord anymore. Like, it's ridiculous.
New thing. I will forever support whatever company just maintains one size so that if I switch phones, my prior charger works or her charger. I mean, it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous.
I do agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm right with you.
All right, if you have
Let's
a good...
just make them wireless. We have that technology.
Well, there's that, too.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
All right, if you have a complaint, is something good from the weekend, Times Yours, 215-238-4500. Let's have some fun there. There was not much to complain about with the Phillies. They are playing great baseball. Let's talk more about that with the next caller. By the way, Elliot, in the next couple minutes on the Eagles, joins the show. Eric right now on Mount Laurel. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great, Eric.
Pretty good, man.
All right. So with the Phillies, I just hope that Dombrowski doesn't go the path of saying, hey, we're going to call these guys up, and those will be our free agents, where they hold on to their minor league prospects like they're going to be gems.
You mean the trade acquisitions. I know what you meant. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I guess Ruben would be better to speak on this. As a GM, I mean, I just took a quick peek at 2020, like the top 100 Major League Baseball prospects. And you go down the list, and there's a bunch of guys on there, the top 15, that aren't great.
Correct.
Oh, that happens all the time.
All the time. Prospects are prospects.
All the time.
Yeah, right. That's why it's so important to be able to, you have to evaluate your own, and you have to figure out whether these guys are really going to be impactful or they're not.
And by the way, Eric.
You're not always perfect, but you got to be able to evaluate your own.
And Eric, I'll just tell you this for what it's worth. If you look at other sports, like if you took the top 15 players in NBA drafts year by year by year, that's just 15. Forget 50. I mean, you're going to see a bunch of guys that had scrub careers. A bunch.
Less in basketball than in baseball.
Less in basketball, but still a bunch.
Agree. But I think baseball is the hardest hit of all.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that it's high school kids is really...
You're trying to look at an 18-year-old kid and say, what are you going to be when you're 24? I mean, 25. It's hard.
It is hard. Yeah.
Exactly. So it seems like there's more opportunities in baseball that you get so many folks in that are so young and they develop. So if you have someone that maybe someone else covets that you can transfer into that reliever that you need or the center fielder that you want, well, hey, roll the dice. Now's the opportunity to cash in where, like you said, are we going to waste a Zach Wheeler and his career with just holding on to potential?
And Eric, I'll tell you this. Like in past eras of Phillies baseball, I'd be probably less inclined to trade a guy like Mick Abel. But if I have Wheeler and Nola and I'm looking to next year, and Lizardo and Sanchez and Painter, do I really have to hold on to Mick Abel? Absolutely not.
No, I agree. I agree. Send him on his way and get someone that's going to help us get over the hill.
That's the way I view it. Eric, give me an answer. What's a unique song?
I think this is really unique. It changed the landscape in hip hop. It changed the landscape in rap. Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah.
Rappers.
Great answer.
That is a great answer. For sure. All right, let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks. He joins us every single Tuesday, and Elliot is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. And the Eagles start an OTA today. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing this
Quite
morning?
Quite a bit, man. Eagles are up. They're up on the on-deck circle for an OTA today. I love it. So let's just start
Football is back.
Football is back. What makes this OTA? Because, Elliot, I get all this stuff confused. What makes this OTA different than the last OTA or the next OTA? This isn't the mandatory one, right? Like, what is this OTA?
Right. Yeah, so I would say today is probably the start of what, you know, fans would consider the more like traditional OTA, what you picture when you think of them working out at the NovaCare. They can start doing 7-on-7. They can do 11-on-11. Now, they can't have live contact, so it's not going to be padded practices with contact. But 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 without contact is, frankly, a large portion of what they do for training camp at this point. So I do think, you know, this is the start of that. It's not the mandatory mini camp. That'll come a little bit later. But they'll be on the field today. They'll be on the field Wednesday. Friday, and then they have three more dates. So, yeah, that definitely the next start of like the ramp up to get ready for training camp.
Do we know how they determined which veterans are to be there, Elliot? You know, we know it's going to be the young guys, but then there's always the sprinkling in of the new additions also. Do we know any more about that?
Yeah, so this isn't like a rookie mini camp or anything. Everybody is expected to be there. Now, it's not mandatory, to be clear. So you don't have to be there. But, you know, in my experience covering, you know, the team under Nick Sirianni, they always get really good attendance. I would expect most of the big names that, you know, we think about are there. So, yeah, this isn't like, you know, where they're asking a few select veterans to come. They're hoping all 90 players are in the
building. Wow. Okay, so that's a big deal. The thing I was noticing just looking at the two deep the other day, we've got only one rookie in a position to be out there with the starters. And I wonder if they'll hold Jihad Campbell out of that spot or, and I guess this is something that you'll be able to tell pretty early on. Jihad Campbell, is he a starter right away at the very first OTA, or do they try to hold back on that one?
And I'll even add this. Do we even know if he's physically capable of
that too?
Getting out
that
there?
Too. Yeah. But remember, they're not hitting. They're out there and they're running. We know it's a shoulder. And I've seen guys in the offseason, myself included, who have rehabbed shoulders. They get out there and they do the stuff. You can do the stuff if you're not hitting.
And we certainly,
in some cases.
And Elliot, I keep cutting you off. We'll get to you. We certainly saw when he came out on the stage, draft night, the guy can move around.
Yeah,
like,
sure. He's not on crutches.
Correct.
Can move. He can play.
So what do you make of
it? Are they letting him?
Yeah, what do you make of it, Elliot?
Yeah, so I would be very surprised if Jihad Campbell's working with the starters or even the backups. I'm pretty sure Quinion, if I remember correctly last year, started with like the fourth team on defense. So only covered Vic Fangio for 1 year, but it does seem like he likes to take the rookies, slow. Like he's not just going to throw them out there. So, I don't think Jihad Campbell will be with the starters today. I would be surprised if he's doing team activity today. He didn't do it in rookie minicamp. It'd be, you know, pretty tough to put him out there right away in the team activities. But in terms of competing for a starting job next to Zach Bond, if healthy, he'll be given that opportunity for sure, especially with, you know, Nakobe recovering from his injury. Now,
right.
They did release a video of the team playing, you know, pickup basketball, not the most, you know, not like legit 5-on-5, but Nakobe was running around in there. So, you know, maybe it's coming along quicker than you would think for Nakobe. But regardless, I think if they had to play a game today or practice, I guess, today for a game, it would be Jeremiah Trotter Jr. next to Zach Bond.
And then guys like Aziz Ojulari, Adoree Jackson, Josh Uche, these are players who've had some success in the NFL, and we don't discuss them ever. I'm assuming they're going to factor in a little bit more than we, the fans, realize, right?
Yes. So I would actually put them in two separate categories. I think Aziz Ojulari is going to make the team, and barring a really bad training camp, is going to get snaps. Like, I'm not saying he's guaranteed snaps, but I think they view him in the rotation right away to start the season. So I think he is expected to contribute. I think they are higher on him than they are on Josh Uche. Josh Uche, to me, is a true, like, shot in the dark. Just see, you know, he had 11 and a half sacks before in a season, so you might as well give him a chance. But the league has somewhat spoken on him. He was traded for a 6-round pick. He didn't play for Kansas City. He got barely any guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. I think the difference is Josh Uche was looking for an opportunity. Aziz Ojulari got to pick his opportunity. There were multiple teams interested in Aziz Ojulari, and he decided to come to the Eagles. They targeted him early in free agency. So you're right that both of them have had success in the NFL. Frankly, probably the most success of any edge rusher they have besides, you know, Bryce Huff. So, but I just, Josh Uche at this point has much more to prove, I think, than Aziz Ojulari.
And what about Adoree Jackson? You know, we talk about who's the third cornerback. Who could that be? Yeah. You got Quinyon, you got Cooper DeJean. A lot of people seem to think Kelee Ringo is that guy, but Adoree Jackson has played in this league. He's been around the block. He's not going to give you rookie mistakes. He's not going to give you inexperience errors as often as some young guys would. But how does that all factor in? Is he even factoring in?
Well, I think that's what they like about him, is that he has a lot of experience, and that's something that their other cornerbacks just don't have. Quinyon, Cooper, Keeley, Mac McWilliams, the fourth round pick, I believe it was fourth round this year. So like their experience is just lacking it with the other corners. Adoree Jackson brings them a player with a bit more of a high floor, I think, at this point. Now, his ceiling is probably not what it used to be. Yeah. Certainly when he first came out, he's not the athlete he used to be, but he did play in the snaps he played last year for the Giants. He did play better than he had the year before. So, you know, you would hope maybe on a 1-year deal, he feels motivated. You get the best version of him. But I think he's just there for veteran experience. If Kelee Ringo doesn't have a good OTA or mandatory minicamp, maybe the first start of training camp, could Adoree move ahead of him? Absolutely. I think they're very open to that. So they just view him as a backup at multiple spots.
Elliot with us right now. Of course, Eagles with a new OTA starting today. Elliot, let's get to this Hard Knocks issue. So Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox. From Armin Chevrolet, together let's drive, visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, do you like that the Eagles will be on Hard Knocks when the NFC East teams are featured in December? Now, James, give your argument for why you say no. Is it as simple? Tell me if it's as simple as this, James. Hard Knocks can't help my team win a championship, but they could hurt my team's chances to win it because it creates a distraction.
Exactly.
That's your argument.
That's it. And even if it's 1%, why?
Okay, and Elliot, my argument on the other side of all of that is sports are supposed to be fun, and I'm looking forward to, on a Wednesday night, watching more Eagles in December. Where do you stand on the distraction versus fun issue within Hard Knocks?
Yeah, so I definitely lean on the fun side. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see footage we haven't seen before. Now, I will say the team went through something similar. I think it was 2019 where they did the Amazon show.
Yep.
That was full season. And, you know, look, there were certainly some fun parts of it, but it ended up, in my opinion, being somewhat boring. Like, we didn't really get to see much. The Eagles actually, I think, do a better job currently of releasing behind the scenes footage, like the unscripted stuff they do. So will it be a distraction? Look, it certainly is, I guess, more of a distraction than not because they're in the building. But it's someone that's down there throughout the season every day. Like, the Eagles are very, very used to media coverage. There are cameras in there all the time. They do a ton of media. This isn't like if we covered or talked about the Carolina Panthers and it's like, oh, all of a sudden people are going to care. The Eagles are at the attention, are at the forefront of every story. So I get James' point, right? Like, ultimately, it is something that is there that doesn't have to be there. But I just don't. This team doesn't strike me as one that'll get distracted, so I think it'll just be fun for fans.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I will say what makes this different than, for instance, other stuff they've done in-house. And the NFL draft footage, John, I mean, they're great with that. How we thinking through, am I picking this guy or that guy and talking to Lori. I love it too, but one thing that makes it different, to the best of my knowledge, that would be an Eagles employee filming them. This is not going to be an Eagles employee filming them. So it's
that's correct.
It's a little bit of a different dynamic there. You know, you got a non-Eagle employee in your building, in the room. It's just, it is different.
I would just say that, and look, I don't think we can always just use the crutch of, well, they won the Super Bowl, so nothing mattered. Like, but they did have Brandon Graham last year say Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown essentially aren't friends, and they still won the Super Bowl. So I just think this team is so used to dealing with distraction and media coverage that it's hard for me to picture them being put in a situation where they are thinking to themselves, wow, this is something that's truly distracting us or that we can't handle. They've pretty much dealt with it all. So I think the experience of being a major market team and dealing with that makes them better prepared to handle it than I think other markets or teams would have been.
Elliot, I think our owner, Mr. Lurie, planted a distraction in me. I am now distracted by Ben Van Sumeren. I need more information. Is this guy going to be playing fullback in these OTAs?
Yeah, he will be. I mean, he is a fullback. Like, that is how they are describing him. That's how they announced him when they signed him. That's the room he'll be in. Now, it's only a one-man room at this point, so he'll probably more likely, you know, be in the running back room. But, they're going to try him out at fullback. They had him do it last year. Obviously, when he went down, they signed another fullback to kind of fill his role. Do I think that he's going to be a huge part of the offense? No, I don't. But I do think they want to use him out there as a fullback. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how often he's out there. We won't get to see a ton of 11-on-11 during OTAs, I don't think. But for the mandatory minicamp, we will. And then, obviously, for training camp. So, very excited to see how often he's out there.
What number do we know what number he is if he's playing offense? Because he's 57 as a linebacker.
I thought he was 47, but I can look that up and get back to you. Yeah.
So, Elliot, pretty potentially big story that started developing this weekend in football. This salary cap thing. So, a lot of people thought the Eagles were targeted with the tush push vote. I tend to think they weren't. I tend to think the play itself was targeted, not the Eagles' success. But a lot of people think the Eagles' success was targeted. Okay. So now there is talk, because there was a report over the weekend that Roger Goodell is looking to possibly change some aspects of the salary cap. Can you walk the audience through what could change, why it could change, and how that could impact the Eagles? Because they have benefited with Howie's greatness with the salary cap and what this could be for the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, so basically what it seems like the NFL wants to do is fix the salary cap so that teams can't like use loopholes to manipulate it, essentially. Now, we all know from talking about the Eagles and covering the Eagles the past few years, the Eagles are awesome at working the salary cap. And the best way to explain it would be this. If you took their top 10 players on the roster in terms of average value, like average contract value, it should be over $200 million. I think it's $215 million per year on the salary cap. But because of how the Eagles structure their contracts, it's just over $100 million. So simplistically, just look at it. They have $100 million less in salary cap hits than they should based off the average value of the contract. Now, the reason that's a big advantage for the Eagles specifically is because they have an owner in Jeffrey Lurie that pays a lot of cash and allows that to happen. So the reason the NFL is going after this is because the poor teams, or the teams that are not willing to spend cash, they're essentially being put at a competitive disadvantage because they're not getting these like long contracts. So for as much as the tush push was focused on the Eagles, and we talked so much about how like it could impact them, ultimately it was not going to impact them a ton on the field. If the NFL changes how you construct your contracts, that is a potential big deal for the Eagles. Not so much this iteration, because it won't be for a few years, but in the future, they'll lose the advantage of having an owner that spends a lot of cash.
Yeah, but that's wild, man.
Doesn't this reflect the way everyone in the NFL operates?
No.
Elliot, I mean...
No, but that's what I'm saying. Degree, like, not all teams, in fact, very few teams. Correct, yeah. Right.
Like, I mean,
that's the difference.
So, Elliot, it sounds like they're looking to kind of harden the cap a little bit more, right? I mean, is that a...
Correct, yeah. Like, and the other way is, you know, we hear so much about dummy years, right? Yeah. The Eagles put dummy years on contracts where it's a five-year deal, but really in the system, it's an eight-year deal. Those 3 years never happen at the end, but it helps them stretch the cap out. Not all teams do that. Like, very few teams, actually. And the Eagles were one of the first, if not the first team to do it. So them taking this away is really taking away something the Eagles thought of on their own and are able to do because of Jeffrey Lurie. So no, not all teams do this. It would definitely hurt the Eagles more than other teams.
Wow. Well, that is really something to keep in mind, because that's been a big advantage. All right, Elliot.
Now it's a few years away for what it's
worth.
No,
I understand. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. For sure. Elliot, great report. I know you'll be covering the OTAs. I'm sure we'll talk to you a few times this week. Thanks, pal.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys.
All right, Elliot Shore Parks. Yeah, that's a potentially pretty big story.
Wow.
Guys, the single biggest thing that hurt the Flyers, single biggest thing was the implementation of a salary cap. I mean, Ruben, you know, growing up, they would just outspend everybody. I mean, Flyers were always in the top five, and then all of a sudden the salary cap came in. That changed the whole Flyers thing. That came in, James, that was what, 05 and 06, right?
Somewhere in that range,
because they had that one year where they missed the season, like the no NHL season. They came back, and prior to that, the Flyers were almost always like a top four or five spender, and by the way, by correlation, a top four or five seed.
And players wanted to come here because of the money.
And players wanted to come here.
And, you know, what it was like here.
And now it's been about 20 years of a salary cap, and, like, you know, it's not the same. All right, that's a big story. 215-592-9494. I mean, to Elliot's point, that's a far bigger thing than the tush push. And I think the tush push gives Eagles an advantage. But if that salary cap gets adjusted for future years, that's a bigger deal. All right, let's go to the phones. Phil's great job over the weekend, and they ultimately lose on Sunday, but they win a couple games out there in, I want to say Oakland. What is it? So, James,
Sacramento.
And they're really just the Athletics?
They are the Athletics. They have no city designation right now. They are known
as
it's funny, if you look at this standings, you know, the standings have the city, like Boston, NYY, whatever it is, it just says ATH for Athletics. It's wild.
Ruben, I thought it was pretty sad. I mean, on one hand, I would have loved to have been at a series like that. 10,000 fans, fun ballpark to go see a major league game. I think it was 10,000, whatever it was. But, I mean, Ruben, like, I'm seeing a guy out there, number 25, whichever player it was. I'm like, that's McGuire's number. And he's playing for the A's, and they're playing in front of, like,
how about Mark Kotze having to do this walk of shame out to left field when he got booted? I mean, come on. Like, that's not Major League Baseball.
That's so
like Little
terrible.
League. I feel like he's watching Bad News Bears, and like Buttermaker has to walk off the field or something.
It's disappointing.
It really is,
it's
man.
It's a little disappointing for me to watch two of these major league teams playing minor league ballpark.
I care less about the Rays.
It was weather. Weather nature.
Yeah.
Well, that and also, what do I care about the Rays?
Still.
I mean, the A's.
The A's have history.
The A's.
The A's have championships and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the three titles in the 70s to get the.
And then the 90s run. Yeah. They only won, but they're. And then the Moneyball thing. I mean, they've had real eras of real success.
They have.
Yeah.
They have. All right. Let's go to the phones. Dan in Philadelphia. What's going on, Dan?
Good morning, everybody. How are we?
Doing great, Dan.
John, you weren't there Friday, right?
Right.
Right. So I have an issue. I don't think Joe won Beat the Hammer.
Oh, come on.
Uh-oh.
What's the controversy?
It's a controversy that you would literally start. Otherwise, most people would just let it go.
Okay.
When asked the question about which coach, I don't know, which Eagles coach or whatever the question was, you didn't say Greasy Neal. You said Neal.
Neal, last name alone qualifies as an answer.
Since when?
And so, no, that's always been the rule.
Neil Diamond?
No.
No.
Do you know that Neil is his last name, not his first name?
Yes.
Okay.
But who knew? You could have been talking about Neil Diamond.
But I wasn't.
But we didn't know that.
Sure you do, because Neil Diamond's last name is Diamond.
No, but you didn't say last name. You just said Neil.
No, I said his last name, which is Neil.
Joe, I
Dan, Dan, you're barking up the wrong tree.
I'm saying his last name, Neil. You just said Neil.
Yeah, Neil.
I'm confused.
Here, I'm going to help you out here. I've always thought the last name thing is lame, but it's been an established rule.
By Jeopardy.
For Beat the Hammer.
Well,
exactly.
And Jeopardy. And so, Dan, the rule, the rule has always been you can do just the last name. You can do first and last, but if you go first and last, you better get them both right. If I said Fred Neil, then I would be wrong. If I say just Neil, then I'm right. And by the way, sometimes a little leeway for some nicknames. If someone said, Magic Johnson or, stuff like that.
If somebody said Big Poppy for Ortiz, would that count?
Yes, I would count that probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not exactly advisable because you get a slippery slope. But yes, James would not ding the guy.
Yeah.
I feel like you have questioned this before. That's all I'm saying. So by your past rules.
No, it holds up. It holds
okay.
up.
Okay.
It is a bit confusing because it's the first name.
It's a first name that happens to be his last name.
Yeah.
All right. Moving
forward. Honest to God, I was just
like, I wish we could ding him, Dan, but.
Yeah.
I'm not saying to ding him. I'm just saying that's something he would throw out.
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. Nope.
I feel like you have. But moving forward, I'll pay very close attention that you don't do that.
Okay.
as for the what's the show? The Hard Knocks? I'm kind of intrigued, right? Like, I do want to see. I don't know how much they'll actually show, but I do want to see what that relationship is in the locker room, on the sideline, so on and so forth, between AJ and Jalen. Obviously, they moved past it from last year, whatever, what you think. We thought it was before, but I do want to see how their interactions are. Obviously, they're successful, but I've always been intrigued by that ever since they started having problems 2 years ago.
Sure.
Like, how they interact, how the other teammates interact with each other, almost like the T.O. and Donovan thing. Obviously, it's not that bad, but I do think it'll pull us behind, and we'll be able to
an extent.
It feels like we'll be able to learn so much more than we know now about the way they feel.
Right.
About
so here's where I'll disagree.
Of their friendship.
Well, here's where I disagree a little bit. You don't know what they're not showing you.
That's true. That's what I mean. It depends on what their creative. Thinking is when they go in. And John, I think the fullback on the team should wear 48. I don't know who 48 is right now, but
well, I mean, it's entirely up to whatever they want to do.
In honor of
like
John,
I said, sort of precedent here playing. For a short,
it's like number 11 at Penn State. You know those numbers at the big colleges.
I don't think it's taken on that sort of status.
All right, Dan, I need a unique song. You can win the Phillies tickets.
How about We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel?
Good answer.
Great answer.
Very good answer.
Really good one.
Yes, it is.
I appreciate that that concept, Dan, but I just don't think it's like that.
All right, let me ask you a question here. So this is one of those ones I'm going to ask those here that know the answer to abstain. Okay, do not say the answer if you know the answer for sure. Did you guys see in the last 4 or 5 days, there's very few things in America there's bipartisan support for these days, but there is bipartisan support to no longer, I'll use the word, manufacture something. Did you guys see what the government's looking to?
I did not, no.
There's over a billion of them in the world, but they're looking to make no more new ones.
Pennies?
Yes.
Yeah. Not surprising.
The pen. It was time.
Yeah. I feel like it's been time.
I mean, the West Wing had an episode 20 years ago about getting rid of the penny.
I mean, when was the last time you used a penny? You know?
There's nothing you can buy with a penny.
Honestly, I want
nothing you buy with 3 pennies.
I like it. You don't even pick them up anyway. If kids, see a penny, pick it up. That whole thing. It's like you just. Nah. I'm like,
John, check this out. It costs more money
themselves. I know it costs.
It costs
so much
more
than
money than it is.
It costs so much more to have a penny than what a penny's worth.
All right, Ruben, I need
but
a prediction.
Think about this.
What?
All those coins that have the like the scalloping or no, not the scalloping, the lines
on the side.
On the side.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's very detailed.
Of course,
I mean,
it is.
There's so much time and effort. Like those presses have to be so antiquated.
Have you been at the Mint? Have you ever been watched the process?
I think, yeah,
years ago. I went
really?
To see it. It's right there by. It's really cool.
Yeah, took a field trip.
It's right there. It's right there, close to my neighborhood. It's in my hood.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's great. It's
the
really, really. I think that's the that's
the OJ.
I think so. Don't quote me.
Okay. Well, a lot of stuff started here.
I'm not a historian.
So, Ruben, when does the nickel go? Does it survive this century? Probably not, right?
This century? No,
yeah.
It does not.
Probably gone in the next 30, 40 years.
Is cash gone completely?
Kids don't use cash, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, at some point. I think it's heading that way. I think it might be a long time, but it's heading that way.
Almost afraid of cash. Like after the
pandemic?
After the pandemic.
Nobody wants cash.
I just never use it. Even if I have it, I never use it.
If someone holds out cash, like here, you know, like I'm almost like, you know what? It's cool, man. I'll pay.
You're the old guy.
I'll sport.
They look at you like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't want to touch your cash. It really, like, I have a problem with it. I never had these issues prior.
I don't disagree. I mean, doors. I open doors with my wallet. I pull my wallet out.
No, you don't.
I have my wallet touched.
That's so weird.
I have that urge.
That's so weird. I think you guys are going too far.
I think that's probably too far, yeah, but I've wanted to do it.
Way too far.
I've thought about doing
that's
it.
That's too much.
Yeah. That's too
I
much.
Use my so elbow too. And my foot, Joe.
I use my hand. What are we doing here, guys? Going too far.
I washed groceries till, I don't know.
And then we found out that it had nothing to do with COVID. Like, that was not how you got COVID.
I know.
Like, what are we doing?
But it puts stuff in my mind. And it is a little grimy. I mean,
Get it out of your mind.
I'll say this. The penny thing. I mean, think about these many billion pennies, however many there are. I mean, think how many. I mean, John, these things have been kicking around society for 60 years.
Think how many pennies you've held and had in your life and have never had an issue. Nothing's ever happened.
No, I know.
I'm sorry we changed the subject, but you walk around with no shoes on and then you use your wallet to open the door.
What
are you doing?
Ruben, what a fantastic
I don't get it.
A riddle.
Crossing it weird.
A riddle inside a... What's the thing about Russia?
It's a mystery wrapped inside... A riddle inside an enigma.
Wrapped inside a mystery.
Something like
that. Who said that?
I don't know.
It wasn't Joe to camera.
Nicolas Cage.
No, some U.S. president, I think, said it about Russia, I think. Let's go to Tim in Swedesboro. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone on this fine day?
Super.
Yeah, pretty good. We got a short week. All right, we like that. I mean, it's already Tuesday. We're almost halfway there already. I mean, for us, you know what I mean? Like, for us. Everyone else is still starting their Tuesday workday, but for us, we're getting near ending our Tuesday workday.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I hope everyone had a nice weekend.
Yeah.
I want to make a few points. First, I want to say, Bria, that debate was awesome. Oh. I listened to the whole thing.
Yeah, it was.
It was awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
that was just too easy.
Well, you had the right topic.
I had to witness that, and it was fantastic.
It really was cool.
It was a good one.
I'm off the floor with this guy. Come on, man. Jesus, little Mary. I wanted to, Ruben, I wanted to ask you, as a former GM, you know, with this bullpen being as weak as it is, of course, you know, everyone exploits it. As a GM, what would you do to fix this as, like, a former GM? If you were a GM now, how would you fix this, like, problem the bullpen has?
Well, I'd try to do it internally first and see what I had. I mean, to me, it's hoping to get Nola back and then throwing Taijuan Walker back in there and see whether he can actually do that job. I mean, he's been in the bullpen, but he's never really done that job. And can he be effective at doing it with the uptick in his velocity, maybe a more effective split? He has that swing and miss. Perhaps he has a swing and miss. Maybe that's part of it. And then after that, then I'm scouring and I'm trying to figure out to what I can do, you know, maybe externally. But I'm also keeping my mind open on the possibilities of throwing some of the, you know, one or two of those guys back who are in the rotation back into the bullpen. So you have to stay open-minded across the board.
You know, Tim, people might think I'm crazy. I don't think the bullpen's as bad as a lot of people present
it. Well, it's not as bad.
I mean, if Romano is decent, and he had been for a month until the other day.
Yeah,
but in a playoff game, who do you trust? But other than Romano, maybe, and Kirkring, maybe, and Strom,
I'm factoring in. I'm adding two starters to the bullpen.
Like, but again, you're just assuming they'll be great there. Like, I'm fine with that, but I'm saying that it's still a question mark. You can't just say, "Oh, we'll just throw Mick Abel in the bullpen; he'll be great at it." Like, maybe.
So there's a couple of different issues.
To Aaron Nola, maybe.
One of them is that once the trade deadline is passed, you can't really make any moves from the outside unless somebody's released.
Right.
So that's one real difficulty with regard to your club. The other thing is you can only bring up a couple of three guys in September, so you can't really find out in September. So that makes it even more difficult. So it's a tough process, man.
Ruben, it's
challenging.
In 93, if Don Paul was playoff eligible, you guys might have won the World Series. I'm serious.
No, stop.
Ruben, he was looking. Look, the game four, the bleeding in game four of the World Series.
I like Don Paul. Dude. And he was a good, he was okay, but he was not a lights out.
I don't care. He pitched well in September. Fregosi gave him the ball to close out the division, which was quite an honor. And then the guy wasn't eligible.
We were winning by like four runs.
It was still an honor. All right.
Four runs or 10 runs?
I don't know.
Who knows?
It was enough runs.
Duncan hit a grand slam. It's kind of a blowout.
Mm-hmm. Tim, it's nice to see, like, it was nice to see Trey, you know, start, get going again. Bryce is like a whole other level right now. And it's, you know, unfortunately, you know, with Sunday, you know, what happened. But, you know, it's, you know, it is what it is. We still got the best record. I can't wait to see what we do to the Braves. I bet you we'll sweep them. I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about them at all. You know, we just keep doing what we're doing. I think it'll be smooth the rest of the year.
Well, they're in a good spot. But I don't know about smooth because consider this, Tim. Even though the Phillies have the best record, they're still only a game and a half up on the Mets. I mean, this is still a very competitive league.
Yeah, the Mets have had their number lately. I mean, they've got the mojo working against them. So there's a lot of baseball left.
And one more thing I'll add, Tim, just because you're not concerned about the Braves for the regular season, don't discount them getting their act together for the postseason. That's what the Mets did last year, and they beat. You go back to the standings last year around this time. I mean, I bet you the Mets were about 10 games below the Phils, maybe more. They beat them in the playoffs. Tim, I need an answer. What's a unique song?
Oh, okay, I don't know if it was said, but Echoes from Pink Floyd.
You got it, pal. Appreciate that phone call. Good call. By the way, Winston Churchill with that quote about Russia. All right, 215-592-9494. Up ahead, we'll get you ready for that Phils-Braves series, pitching matchups and more. Also, A.J. Brown, something he said last week, interesting, about the Eagles having won the Super Bowl, as, of course, they get ready for a new OTA starting today. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie, it's 94 WIP.
Here's what's happening at Borgata. Don't miss out on the action at Borgata's Poker Room, where great cards, lucky seats, and high hands bring excitement to every player, open 7 days a week. Excitement is waiting, and you are only miles away from your happy place. Experience award-winning restaurants, exciting bars and live music, big-name entertainment, and a spacious casino filled with your favorite slots and table games. The action at Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa doesn't stop. Start planning your getaway today. Visit theborgata.com for more details.